We return in our scripture reading to the book of James. Today we read James chapter 3. You'll find it in the Pew Bible on page 1290. Now, James is, of course, a wisdom book, and here he turns very wisely to the problem of the tongue. And he's going to make some rather choice words that we would do well to pay attention to. You do know that the children's ditty, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is categorically wrong. James and the Bible talks about, very strikingly here, about the way that you speak will change your life. He compares it to a bridle in the teeth of a horse, and the bridle turns the whole horse, or a ship. A little rudder turns the way the great ship goes. So are our tongues. You think of things that we've said that have ruined our lives and have sent us down to a course. He says in verse 6, I think very wisely, it creates a world of unrighteousness. Things that we say to people, particularly children, or if you're a teacher, students, that kind of thing, create the world in which they live, the way they think about themselves. Very often as a pastor, I'll have be talking to someone, maybe an aged person, and I'll say, "Why don't you sing?" And they'll say, "You know, when I was a little boy, my Sunday school teacher said we'd all be happier if you didn't sing." And I'm going to go, "Oh, 70 years of not singing because of one callous, self-absorbed person." Oh, but quite the opposite. If we praise and bless and build up, how important are our tongues? We set things on fire through the sins of our mouth. He actually goes on and he compares us to a snake. And we have sacks of poison in the back of our mouths and we speak and we bring death. How it convicts us that this is true. And so he is saying, let's get busy about the matter of our tongues. He starts off by saying, teachers, you who teach the Bible have to do so faithfully. But we all then need to guard the tongue. Now there's a problem. The problem, he concludes the passage by saying, it's really about the heart. And if it's in your heart, it's coming out your mouth. Don't we know that? That is, Jesus says that's true. It's exactly true. And so the work at the very end of the passage, we had peaceable spirits, mercy, good fruits, sincerity, gentleness. We need the work of the Lord in our lives. Maybe the most important thing is said in verse 8, that no human being can tame the tongue. The truth is that you cannot stop sinning with your mouth. It is the sewage, as it is, of our hearts that inevitably comes out. But here's the good news. There is somebody who can tame your tongue, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray about it. We bring the Word of God into our minds, into our hearts. We consecrate our lips unto Him, and He can tame the tongue. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving Word, beginning at verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. A world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.